Good morning and welcome back to the chat on Newsday Amarillo and News Channel 10-2. I'm David Lovejoy.
Good morning, I'm Megan Collier.
I'm the old guard, Chuck Williams.
And we'll wait for our next guest to zoom in. Right now we're joined by Arthur E.C. Hines. His new book out, The Bus to Beulah, discusses the timely and controversial topic of immigration. E.C., welcome to the chat.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Now this has been all over the news and all around for the past 3 to 4 years, the issues of immigration. Why address this subject in your new book?
Well, I read an article in BuzzFeed a number of years ago about a man in North Carolina who used to work for the state as a labor coordinator, which meant he found cheap labor for the farmers. Subsequently, he was fired by the state and set up a company to get temporary work visas. The 1986 Immigration Reform Act made it illegal to hire undocumented workers, but it allowed visas to be issued for both agricultural and non-agricultural workers. Anyway, this guy was eventually indicted on 65 felony counts, went to some prison and so forth for disobeying a whole bunch of laws. But I all of a sudden was aware of a society and a culture that underlied the convenient culture that most people consider themselves in. I found and with discussions with some advocacy groups that in North Carolina alone, there are over 200,000 immigrants, seasonal workers come in order to plant, maintain, harvest the food that we produce. So all of a sudden, you've got a culture and a group of people in this country, in this state of North Carolina, and it seemed a ripe topic to explain, to reveal. And so, since I'm a fiction writer, I think the best way to take the medicine is with a little sugar, and the sugar being a good story. So I set the story up in that.
So talk a little bit about the story itself. Like you said, it is fiction. Obviously, it's based on situations that have happened, assuming in the country and beyond, right? So kind of explain the narrative to us just a bit.
The narrative is a young woman who was raised and educated in Mexico, in Monterey, comes into the United States to live with her uncle, who has largely paid for her outstanding education. She comes on a bus that is owned by a man who runs a business to bring workers in. And at a bus stop, just before she gets to the town of Beulah, she's in the ladies' room and overhears two women in a horrendous argument. Where one of them, the younger of the two, finds that she is not coming to be a cook, as she thought, but to be a prostitute. So the man who is in the human trafficking group, who was there to pick the other two women up, realizes that Maria has heard them arguing and knows what's up. So they take her, they kidnap her. And then her uncle, knowing that she hadn't gotten there, the company who was bringing her in on the buses says she never got on the bus, which the uncle and therefore the law enforcement that he goes to knows a lie. So the book is then set up on a time basis instead of chapters, because they realize they have a very limited amount of time to find her before she disappears forever.
You know, when you start dealing with something like this, in reference to what you said earlier, you have some of our old immigration laws. You have the farmers' lobby, if you will, and local politics. that's almost a recipe for disaster, is it not?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, because everybody has a vested interest. The fact is, in North Carolina, and for that matter, in California, in Texas, in Florida, without millions of people coming in to do the work that Americans won't do, the agricultural economy would collapse. We'd have no food on our tables.
Yeah.
And when you start trying to get information, I would spend a year almost doing research for this book. And, you know, you call a local sheriff's department or somebody else and realize that the sheriff's wife's brother runs a farm and has a certain number of people, and that the housing that he's supposed to provide isn't exactly up to par. And, you know, I mean, everybody is, the farmers have got a lobby, the produce suppliers have lobbies, and, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a finger in it somewhere.
And we hear, when we have this debate about immigration, we hear all the time, they're taking jobs away from Americans. They're taking jobs
right.
away. And you just mentioned that they're probably jobs most Americans don't want to do, correct?
Well, I'll give you one example. There was a study that was done in North Carolina, again, where the book takes place, and Mexico. But in North Carolina, and in 2012, I'm not got this totally right, 2012, there were 200,000 people out of work. Now, the law says that jobs have to be offered to to American citizens first. So in 2012 in North Carolina, there were 1,700 applications and jobs referred to companies looking for workers like that. Of the 1,700, 168 showed up the first day. And of those, at the end of the season, agricultural season, there were seven still working. Now, keep in mind that there are between 180 and 220,000 people necessary. Mm. I mean, it's
staggering. Yeah.
I mean, tobacco, mm-hmm. cucumbers for pickles. Sweet potatoes. North Carolina is the largest producer of sweet potatoes in the world. They're all harvested by hand.
Wow.
Tobacco is all harvested by hand. Grapes, melons, berries. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Mm. It's all done by hand.
That's wild. That's
you know, this kind of brings to my mind an old movie, Mr. Majestic, with Charles Bronson from the 60s. And it seems as though that, especially with this new immigration bill about to expire, it's going to cause more problems than what it's going to solve, is it not?
Sure. I mean, it we're living in a fantasy world. Mm. If, when you're talking about people coming across the border, I mean, first off, the concept of a wall is one of the biggest fantasies that ever came up. I mean, for God's sake, if the Chinese Great Wall didn't work, what makes you think some pathetic little prefab wall is going to work? Yeah. I mean, that's absurd. And the fact
that another country's going to pay for.
Yeah, right. Well, I don't even think the vegetables believe that.
I do think it's important, though, to note what you're doing. And what you're doing is telling a story through fiction with the hopes of, like, of illustrating a broad problem that our country faces. It's very nuanced, indeed, 100%, right? And so why do you think that fiction is a good avenue to tell that, to draw people in and maybe open hearts and minds and things like that to understanding or at least trying to come to some sort of consensus on the issue?
Well, because people relate to people. They relate to mm-hmm. personal stories. I mean, if you look at past literature, Charles Dickens, when he wrote A Christmas Carol, for example, pointed out to the British the plight of orphanages and poor and so forth. And if there was a movie they did called The Man Who Invented Christmas, and one at the very end, when the book had come out just before Christmas, it said that that was the greatest contributions and outpouring of money in the history of the country. So Dickens used personal stories and individuals. In this case, we have a young woman who has worked hard, who is looking for a new life, and she is kidnapped by human traffickers. And in the interim, we find out about the housing and the people and the lives that are affected and this. So if you wanted to me, if it was a nonfiction expose, you'd have people asleep by page 50.
That's it. Well, the book is called The Bus to Beulah. E.C. Haynes is the author. You can pick it up on Amazon and other book outlets. We'll have a link on our page so you can find out more about his book. Thank you for visiting with us today, Mr. E.C.
Thank you. Pleasure.